Psalm 120, and we'll be starting with verse 1. We finally made it through Psalm 119. It took a while. I don't remember how long it took, but it took as long as it took. And it's like someone said we could start over again and we'd get more out of it second time around. Are we there, Brother Barry? It is. Well, that's nice to know. Okay, Psalm 120 and verse 1. In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. Isn't that wonderful? In my trouble I cried to the Lord, and He answered me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we thank You for this blessed day that You've given us. And thank You, Lord, for another opportunity to live and to serve You. And Father, I pray that we have done exactly what You would have us to do today. We pray that You'd forgive us if we haven't accomplished that. Father, we thank You for all the wonderful blessings You bless us with every day, things we're not worthy of, Your love and grace and mercy and forgiveness and salvation and eternal life. There's so many other things as well. Father, we thank You for the privilege and honor that we have to be able to assemble tonight together in this house. Thank You for all the ones that have come out, and for the ones that may still be on their way, we pray that You'd bring them safely on in. Pray for those that could not be here for whatever reason, that You would be with them as well. Father, we ask that Your anointing would be upon Pastor Jeremy and myself. I ask that You would fill us with Your Spirit. And Father, You would use us as Your messengers tonight to deliver Your message, Pastor Jeremy, to the young people and myself here. And Father, I pray that as we study Your Word, that You would speak to our hearts in a very personal and powerful way. And we again ask that You would remove anything that might distract us from hearing what You have to say. We live in such a chaotic world. We thank You, Lord, this is a place of sanctuary. We leave the chaos outside so we can commune with You and with one another. Now, Father, again, speak to our hearts and thank You for what You're doing even now. Prepare us to come before Your throne of grace. We give You all praise, honor, and glory because You're worthy, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Thank you. This psalm here is not unlike all the other psalms we've been looking at. This particular psalm, though, is the beginning of songs that were sung by the Jewish people as they ascended to the temple. They're songs of ascent. I want us to keep that in mind as we're reading this. However, pay stricter attention to the content, because we can find ourselves in this passage of Scripture, and I want you to see yourself as we go through this. Again, this psalmist, whoever wrote this, it's an anonymous psalm. However, it's the Word of God. And it's something that we can relate to, again, because we can't get through one day without there being some kind of trouble. Now, can we? There's always something. There's something coming our way. So like I said, we live in a chaotic world. And I don't know about you, but there's people that live in my life with me. People. And whenever there's people, there's trouble. And there's people in my life that don't regard what the Lord has to say for their life. And so I have to deal with their chaos. The chaos just naturally comes. But the child of God has something that's really wonderful, and that is the peace of God. We have peace with God, and that brings the peace of God in our lives. And as we are able to pick up His Word and read His Word and allow His Holy Spirit to minister to us what He has to say to us, brings us peace and comfort and encouragement. I'm glad that someone is in control. Bless you. And I'm glad that it's the Creator of the universe. Our Father. Our Father in heaven. The psalmist says, "In my trouble I cried to the Lord." Again, this is not just a calling out. You know, we call on the Lord all the time. I'm sure that this morning, before we got our days started, that we called on the Lord. We thanked Him for another day of life, and we thanked Him for a good night's rest. Thanked Him for an opportunity to be able to serve Him today and ask for His help to do what we know we should be doing. Those things is going to bring Him the honor and the glory that He deserves. I'm sure we did that. But I'm sure, but mostly sure, that we didn't cry out to Him. When we cry out to the Lord, it's generally because of some sort of distress. Is that not correct? It's because of some sort of distress. We as the people of God know where to go with our distress. I mean, I'm thankful that we have brothers and sisters in Christ that we can count on, that we can talk to, we can call, we pray with one another, we can share our burdens with one another. But the fact of the matter is, God is the only one who is able to do anything about what goes on in our life. It's good for one another to share one another's burdens. That's what it tells us in Galatians 6, 1. Share you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? It's the law of love. That's the law of Christ, the law of love. I'll prove it to you. Back in the Old Testament, Jesus quoted the Old Testament, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart." What was the first word I said? "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." So that's the law of Christ. It's the law of love. So bear one another's burdens and so fulfill that law. It's the law of love. We're going to be caring and understanding and encouraging one another. We're able to do that. We can pray for one another. But God's the only one that can do anything about whatever's going on. He's over all of that. He understands. He's the only one I know of can heal anyone. He's the only one I know can save anyone. Oh, I have the words to say. I can tell somebody how they need to be saved, but I can't save them. I can give them all the information that they need and tell them how much God loves them and that the Lord Jesus Christ laid down His life for them. He died in their place. He rose from the grave. He ascended into heaven, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and intercedes on our behalf. I can tell them that. I can pray for them as well. You know, need to have a direct connect. People said that about me through the years. My wife has said it to me many times. "Well, I'm coming to you because I know you have a direct connection." Well, any child of God has got a direct connection to God. It's not unique to me or unique to pastors or preachers or Sunday school teachers or deacons or whatever. All of us have a direct connection to God. If you're a born-again, blood-bought child of God, you have a direct connect. And we don't have to wait till we come to the church either. You can do it anytime you'd like. You can go to the potty at your house and go to the Lord in prayer. You can go out in the backyard. You can go out in the woods. You can go anywhere you want to. He's ready to hear. Problem is, he don't hear enough because nobody's saying anything. I believe that's what's the matter with church today. That's the reason why the church has no power. There's nobody exercising this gift that we have to be able to communicate with the Creator of the universe. We need to cry out to the Lord in our distress and in the distress of others. Does it bother you that people are, because of sin, their lives are in turmoil and despair and pain and suffering, and they're waltzing to hell without a care? Does that matter? It should. It should break our hearts. We have the message to give. We can tell them how to be saved. And even if they don't listen to that, we can pray. The Word of God tells us that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's got to be a righteous man. It's got to be someone who don't have sin between them and their God. Someone who can come to prayer, pour out their heart, and God hears what they have to say. Because they have heard what God has to say. I got to keep bringing it up because we need to get it. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So if I regard sin of having to have a place in my life, God will not hear me. Sin has no place in a believer's life. God won't hear. Sin separates us from our God. The psalmist says, in my trouble. You know, Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. You'll have trouble. That's what that word tribulation means. Trouble. In this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. So we know we can go to Him in our trouble. We can go to Him in someone else's trouble. You know, if you got somebody close to you that's going through stuff, you know what I mean? Stuff. We all have stuff, and we know people's going through stuff. Does that bother you when people that's close to you is going through stuff? Your family's going through stuff? Again, it should. And we are able to intercede for those people and the situations they're going through. God will hear. He will answer. Yes, no, and wait. That's how He answers. Yes, no, and wait. Sometimes it's immediate, sometimes it's not. Sometimes the answer is no. Point is, we need to be able to reach heaven at any time. Nothing stopping us. And I often wonder, what in the world is going on with the church that it seems like it's powerless? And I think I answered my own question with what I just said. What in the world? We need to get the world out of the church and in the Word. In my trouble, I cried to the Lord, heartbroken, heartfelt, because of trouble, calling out, crying out to the Lord for help, for intervention, for Him to step in. Do what needs to be done. He says right after that, and He answered me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, verse 2. Or my life. Deliver me from lying lips. Have you ever had anyone lie about you? Have you ever had anybody lie about you? Tell stuff that's not true. And then it gets around. And it hurts too, don't it? I told you about the time that when I was still driving a truck, that my partner informed me that my wife and I was getting a divorce. News to me. But the thing of it was, how he got that information is our pastor relayed confidential information onto him, which is not good. As a pastor, I still have stuff in here from people that's long gone to be with the Lord. And there's no sense of repeating it. You know what I mean? It's in confidence. It needs to stay there. But there are some people that they love to inflict pain. It's what they do. They get a charge at causing people anguish. Well, it that didn't happen. That was the whole point. It didn't happen. But it was his opinion, giving that information to somebody else, that that's where we were headed. So that was nice. Yeah. Anyway, be that as it may, we all have these times when pain is inflicted by people, by other people, talking about us, saying things that are not true, and which in that instance that hurt the both of us because there was no truth to it whatsoever. I mean, you know, a lot of marriages need counseling. It doesn't make a difference how many years you've been married. A lot of times you just need some counseling. You know what I mean? You need to talk to somebody. And who better to talk to than your pastor? Well, right, exactly. And that's the way it needs to be. Now, there's a lot of people that will not bear their heart to family members of the church because they don't know whether or not it'll be on the 6 o'clock news. You know? And there are people who say, well, you know, this needs to be confidential, you know, but lo and behold, next thing you know, it might as well be on the 6 o'clock news. But they're just people that's just hurtful. They'll do whatever to inflict pain. It gives them a charge to make other people hurt. And I believe that's what this psalmist is saying. Psalm 120 and verse 2. Deliver my soul, my life, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Oh, yeah. And there are people, excuse me, that will tell you things that they believe you want to hear, and they don't mean a word of it. Oh, yeah, I love that person. They go talk to somebody else. I hate their guts. You know what I'm saying? It's stuff like that. People are very hurtful. That's the reason why the people of God need to step up and be the people of God. You know, we've got an example to go by. Very high standard. Jesus Christ. Anybody remember what 1 Peter 2:21 says? Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. So that is the standard by which we are supposed to live. And remember, God tells us in Romans 8:29 that if we are saved, if we're born again, he's conforming us to the image of his Son. It's a process now, mind you. It don't happen overnight. Hey, God knows what he's doing. He knows it takes time. We got to ferment a little bit. But that's what he's doing. We have to remember that. And when Paul the Apostle was talking about leaving the past behind and looking forward and pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God, that's exactly what he was talking about. To be like Jesus, that's the end result. We all have to remember that. But don't use it as an excuse. Well, I'm just human. That's no excuse. We're all human. So what? If you're a born again, blood-bought child of the living God, the Holy Spirit living in you, that can be used as an excuse. Now, can it? Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? That's some pretty strong language there. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? In the next verse or so, it's going to explain a little better what's being said here. Something that we'll be able to understand a little better, I believe. How much damage can be done with this? You know, it's been said that that thing is so unruly that God put it behind bars of ivory to keep it under control. And it still don't happen. You know, when I was pastoring down to Crooksville, people wondered why I wouldn't let anyone stand behind the sacred desk. And I'll tell you why. And I'll tell you what I told them. Because somebody can undo however many years of work that I had done trying to get the church where it needed to be, 10 years or whatever, they could ruin it in 30 seconds with something they've said. So therefore, I'm going to know who you are before you stand here. Because I don't want to be liable for that one. I'm going to know who you are, and I'm going to know what you've been taught. The only people that stood behind the pulpit down there, or the podium down there, was seasoned pastors that I knew, and a couple of young men that I taught. Yes, sir. I agree. Pretty much everything that this country revolves around is a lie. I mean, it's when you've got politicians and stuff involved in it, and these groups, these activists, and all the stuff, I know exactly what you're talking about. Our country is in a sorry state of affairs, and the church wonders why we need to pray. Absolutely. It takes time. But the tongue, well, in the Proverbs it says, in the power of the tongue is life and death. You can bring life with what you say, or you can bring death with what you say. There's probably been, well, I know there has been many a relationship killed by words that you can't take back. Because forgiveness was not strong enough in the people's lives. There's been marriages destroyed because of it. There's been all kind of relationships destroyed because of words. That's the reason why, especially the people of God, we say we stand on this book, but we have got to live it. We've got to live it. And when we live it, we will be bringing our Heavenly Father the honor and the glory He deserves. Now remember, as a child, we are representing His name. I told you about that pastor. His lost dad, years ago, he was going to go around and run with his buddies, and he said, "Don't do anything to bring shame to my name." And he was lost. But people had integrity back then. It meant something. A name meant something. My goodness, I know that I have destroyed my God's name many times. But just think of the destruction that goes on in and through the church today. Not just amongst each other, but bringing shame to the name of the Lord. It's something we need to think about. We need to keep it on our mind all the time. Look at verse 4. It'll give us a little more insight as to what the psalmist is dealing with here. From the very beginning, there's only 7 verses in this psalm, this particular psalm, but from the very beginning, the psalmist announces to God that he is suffering trouble. Excuse me, and obviously, it has something to do with someone's language toward him. And it's deeper than that too. But, and you know, I've had people bring things up to me about some conflict that they had with someone 15 years ago. And they claim to be children of God. And I said, "You haven't forgiven that person?" I wasn't mentioning a name. You did it all by yourself. You got to forgive them. Forgive them. You don't need that on your conscience. You don't need for your brain to bring that thing up every time some little thing makes you think of it. Just forgive them and be done with it. You're just keeping yourself in bondage at that point. If you won't forgive somebody, you are just keeping yourself in debtor's prison is all you're doing. And does that honor God? My goodness, you expect him to forgive you, don't you? Yes? Then I guess we need to be forgiving of other people then, don't we? You mean God just forgave you a little bit? I mean, all the stuff that you've done in your life, well, it didn't amount to that much, so is that what you're telling me? No. It was bad. And God forgave me for it. And you know something? I want to tell you how bad it was. Okay? I'm not going to go into detail in my life, but I'm going to tell you how bad that it was. It cost the life of my Heavenly Father's Son. That's how bad it was. It caused somebody to die, not just somebody, like I said last week. The Son of God is what it costs. So, if I have the chance to forgive somebody for something that they've done to me, or I think they've done to me, or whatever it is going on, I think I should jump right on that and forgive them because I have been forgiven. Look at this verse 4. Sharp arrows of the warrior with the burning coals of the broom tree. Now, we're talking about the pain that's been inflicted by someone's tongue. It would be like being shot with an arrow. You know something? A warrior tends to be able to put it on target. You know what I'm saying? There are some people that know which words to use, and the ones that cut the most and will cause the most pain. Just like a warrior aiming at the target. May not want to kill, but wants to cause as much pain as possible. Just like a warrior's arrow. I think that would hurt. What do you think? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, those things go back and forth now, don't they? But that's the description so we can understand the type of pain that he's talking about. It is aimed at specifically to cause the most pain and suffering. And then it says, with the burning coals of the broom tree. Now, if you can imagine the pain that would, let's just say, charcoal. Okay? Is charcoal hot when it's burning? Yeah, it's pretty hot. Can it cause any pain? Let's stick your hand in there and grab some up sometime without any protection on and see. Yeah, see, and you ever notice a burn? How long the pain sticks around with a burn. And it's, and depending on how deep the burn is, how long it takes to heal. Sometimes it never heals correctly. That's the same way with the tongue. It can inflict so terrible pain that someone may never recover from it. Now, you wouldn't think that people would be that vicious now, would you? But trust me, they are. People without Christ, and I would say that there isn't possibly a child of God that could be that vicious toward another individual. Because I'm saying if you are, you better look at your salvation. Because something didn't take place to change your heart. I'd take a real good look. If this psalm hasn't hit home yet, it's going to in the following verses. Now, you have to keep in mind that this, I'm going to go back to my original statement to start with. This is the first of like 15 psalms or songs that the children of Israel sang as they ascended to the temple. These are songs of ascent, okay? In other words, to make the comparison, they're going to church. I think we can all understand that, can't we? They have a motive behind that ascent because they regard God. And I hope that anybody that comes to this church come because they regard God. Because they love God. Because they love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they love His Word. But we don't live in a place where everybody loves God and regards God and loves and regards His Word, as the psalmist is going to say here. He's going to church with God's people. Woe is me. Pain and agony. Destruction. Woe is me. For I sojourn in Meshech, for I dwell among the tents of Kedar. That might not mean anything to you right now, but it will. Too long. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. Do you think that we live in a land and a culture, I don't like to use that word because that really don't adequately describe what I'm trying to say. A land, back the same word, of peace. You know, you look on the news anytime and somebody's having some kind of a demonstration against this, that, and the other thing, and they're trying to get people's attention to change this, that, and the other by legislation and whatnot. When that's not even the problem. It's like I said before, you can't legislate the human condition. You can't legislate against depravity. You can't do that. There's not a law on the books or one that could be put on the books that would take care of that. There's only one thing. There is a law, but not in the human books. There is one law that will take care of that problem. And that's the law of love that we talked about earlier. That's the law of Christ. Bear one another's burdens to so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6, 1. Okay? The people of God are supposed to be living by that law. We care for people we don't even know. We care for people that hate our guts. I'm just saying. We care about their condition, and we certainly care about their future. Because anyone without Christ, we know exactly what their future is. And it's very bleak. I think we might get caught up in this woe is me business. Oh, I can't get nothing done because of all the sin-ridden people and activities and all the stuff that's going on around me. I can't get anything done for the kingdom. You know the God who created and sustains the universe? He is able to do whatever needs to be done. And it don't make any difference what's going on. I got new time. I'm going to bring something to your attention. You see this chaos and all this garbage that's going on, even today? He took care of it once years ago, and there was only 8 people saved. He cleaned house. He's going to do it again. It won't be by water. It's going to be by fire this time. The fact of the matter is, the point was, He's able to do it. He's able to do whatever needs to be done. But is our heart toward the condition of lost people to cry out to God on their behalf and maybe even live a life that they might possibly want to live themselves? My goodness, why are you so... I live in the same world you do. Why are you so peaceful? Why are you so happy? You know, people do ask those questions. But the fact of the matter is, church today is too busy being angry. Kicking stuff and kicking fingers. You know what I'm saying? And we would wonder by that why in the world nobody would listen to us. Come on, it don't take a rocket scientist to figure it out. The problem is, we're too busy looking at everybody else and not looking at ourselves. What did Apostle Paul tell us we need to do? We need to take inventory. We need to look at our own self and see where we are in the faith. My God is able to do exceeding abundantly. He's able to supply all of our needs, but He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all we're able to ask or think. There's nothing that takes us by surprise. He knows everything that's going on. He knows what's going on right now in all of our lives. He knows every last detail. Matter of fact, He knows what we're going to pray here in just a little bit. He knows about those concerns that you have. Altogether. But we need to talk. Doesn't it make you feel better when you can talk? Get stuff off your chest. And aren't you glad that you got a Heavenly Father that's never too busy to listen? Why don't the church take advantage of that? My goodness, Wednesday night services are the most sparsely... Oh, my goodness. I don't understand. I haven't for years. I've looked at it. I've thrown it on the floor, looked at it, picked it up, thrown it down again to look at it. I can't tell you why. Other than people just need to get right with God. That's all I can tell you. Ill-attended prayer meetings. And people tell you, you know, that's our lifeline with God. Oh, really? Well, you know, you can pray at the house by yourself, and you need to do that. Trust me. You need to do it. But the Lord also told us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. We do see that day approaching, don't we? Yeah. When it's going to be eternally too late for a multitude of people, for a multitude of reasons, for a multitude of things, it's going to be eternally too late. Too long has my soul had its dwelling with those who hate peace. I tell you, sometimes you got to walk pretty far to find that peace, because there's so much chaos that goes on today. Look at the ending verse. I am for peace. I'm for peace. I live amongst a bunch of people who hate peace. They hate God. They hate whatever will truly bring peace. You know why they do? Because they're going to convict themselves. They're going to convict themselves. They don't want to feel that. So they just go with the crowd and be hateful. No peace. As it says back, and I think it's in Jeremiah, they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Oh, they say, oh, there's peace. Yeah, peace is on the way. There ain't a peace. The only way you can have peace is get right with God. But the psalmist says, I am for peace. I live amongst a bunch of people that hate God and they live chaotic lives. They cause chaos. They dish out pain and suffering. But I'm for peace. I hope that describes all of us. No matter what's going on in this world out here, it's not going to sway me. I'm for peace. Because I have the peace of God that passes human understanding. I've got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And trust me, I didn't get it from the world. I am for peace. But when I speak, listen to this. You're going to be able to relate to this. But when I speak, when the person of God speaks, When the gracious words of God come from our mouths and from our lives, they are for war. That's what it says. You know that to be true. We've got war in our own families because people don't want to hear it. We can be as loving and kind and gentle and God-fearing, and people see the love of God in our lives. And it wouldn't make any difference how gracious you are. I mean, even our own families. They're for war. They don't want peace. They want to keep the chaos a-going. That's what we got. That's where we live. We're going to have to come to grips with that fact. The Word of God tells us it's going to get worse before it gets better. So you better put on your leathers, your helmet, whatever else it is you need, because it's going to get worse. And we can see it. We can see it all around us every single day. I can't believe some of the stuff that I hear. I don't know why I'm surprised. But it just blows me away. We have an obligation as the people of God. We have many obligations, but I'm going to bring one to our attention that would help to cure the ailments of our country. Is anybody for that? I am, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's a direct quote from the Word of God by the mouth of the Apostle Paul. 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. So, if you want to know how to pray, that's the way we need to pray. The leadership needs salvation. You know, there's one thing I was told a long time ago, and I've never forgotten it. And I'm going to give this, information out to you. You can't expect lost people to act like they're saved. Isn't that profound? But that's what we expect. We expect that just because people are in places of leadership that they're going to act like they're saved. They can't. It's impossible. They can be good, you know what I'm saying? But they're going to come unglued somewhere along the line. They're going to go off the rails. They're going off the deep end. We can't expect them to act like they're saved because they're not. Do you act like you did before you were saved? Today? I was going to say, if you do, you better check your salvation. No. We've been transformed. And we are. God is still conforming us to the image of His Son. Back in Corinthians it says, 1 Corinthians 5:18, if a man's in Christ, he's a new creature. He's a new creation. The old things have passed away. Yeah, old stuff. That old sinful stuff, behold, all things are become new. So God, give us a clean slate. Doesn't mean we don't sin. I'm not saying that. But that stuff that used to capture my attention and hold on to me, stuff that pleased me, that stuff is gone. Now, what pleases me is the things of God. That's where we need to be. I'm still a work in progress now. Still a work in progress. I still sin. And I still have to ask for forgiveness. But thank God, He's working on me. Anybody have anything to add to that? Any questions or comments or anything? Yes, sir. First Timothy 2, 1 through 4. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. Do we have any prayer requests? I'm sure we do. I've got a couple on here to start with. I started a short list. Jesse Mattinger is on here first. Trey was saying that she got her heart monitor off. I didn't even know she had one. So, and I've not heard anything about the brain tumor test or whatever words she's supposed to have. I never heard anything about that either. We need to keep him in prayer, though. And Chad, he's still recovering. He's still hurting pretty bad. So, I don't know if he drove or not, but he had to go to college. Well, there you have it. He had to go to court. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Her name was Kathy Wells, wasn't it?
No.
Oh. Okay. Well, what about Kathy Wells? I haven't heard anything. Okay. So Kathy, what's her last name? Well, good. That's her daughter?
Her daughter, yeah. They felt the compassion from the center of him, but now they're going to be confirmed in the next few weeks.
Yeah, that's it. Right. Right.
And then one of my managers that I struggle a lot with, and she's been on my heart a lot lately. A couple of weeks ago, her son, one of them is like really been in a lot of trouble.
Do we have a name that we can put with that?
Mindy Majors, I do not know her son's name. They're from the North area.
But God knows.
Yeah. God knows and God knows her.
Yep. And he knows him as well.
Friend of mine, his wife fell and broke her leg. Her name is Mitzi.
Mitzi? Mitzi what? Did you say Mitzi or Missy?
Mitzi, M-I-S-S.
Okay. And she broke what?
Her leg. And then earlier, we were talking about the trauma, too. With all the kids' suicide today, a lot of that has to do with the trauma.
Yep. Yeah, I mentioned that like last week or week before, something that happened. A 13-year-old hung herself because of what somebody said. My goodness. Yes, sir, Brother Eldon. Yes, him. No. Yes, sir. Really? Did you ask him if he expected to spend time with God in the near, in the future?
I will approach him.
I think I would. Ask him if he would. Ask him which one looks the best. With God in heaven, or with Satan in the lake of fire. That's the choice you got. So, I mean, it's a pretty straightforward question, you know, spending too much time with God. I would think so. I wouldn't think so. Good for you. He needs to hear that. Yes, ma'am. Sue. Oh, go ahead. Yeah, see, it's a lot of times you don't know. Who was it? Oh, yeah. It didn't have to affect you if you have any feeling at all, you know. So, anyone else? Yes, sir. Really? That's okay. Bursitis. She used to have to get those in her hips every whip stitch. How long is that? How long is that? A whip stitch. It sounds like some kind of a sewing move of some sort. I just wondered what a whip stitch was because I don't know. Huh? Occasionally. Okay. Anyone else? Huh? Well, that's what I thought, you know. I just want to know how long it was. He said occasionally, so we'll go with that. Yes, sir. Anyone else? Yes, sir. I'll put him up there with Steve. Anyone else? Let's remember our president and our nation and remember the church. We can't pray for the church enough. I usually try to put it up top of the list here. The church can't get through. I mean, you know what I mean? Yeah, probably should. I know you all do anyway, but it doesn't hurt to pray for yourself. My goodness. I pray for myself all the time. That's how much help I need. You know what I'm saying? Let's see. Is that it? Okay. Well, that's good. We've been praying for you. We've been praying for you, so. This is not going to work very well. I'm just going to shut it off.